It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
This is the hour of doom. Might be.
No.
No.
And bloom.
And bloom. Definitely a bloom. Well, can you believe it? You actually heard a female voice on this podcast.
I exist. That's because you let me out of the sweatshop.
That's right. Finally, you have a moment to join us today. What's it been like in your...
Help me, help me. You had me tied to the sewing machine. Oh, wait. We don't sew anything, do we? Oh, well.
It was a good story, though. What's it been like in your mystical warehouse of mystery?
Oh, wow. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But a good crazy, because we're busy.
That's true.
But it's a little tough for a mom and pop shop. I don't think people realize we're really a mom and pop shop.
Yeah, there are not too many.
There's not 400 people.
I have some helpers, but that's about it. Yeah.
I need a secretary, and I need an accountant, and I need an inventory person. I wear all those hats.
Well, you've done a wonderful thing getting all this personal protection gear for people,
right? We have actually kept up pretty well.
Hundreds of people, really.
Hundreds.
Absolutely.
But we're happy to do it. We're absolutely happy to do it. Anytime.
Well, without further ado, friends and neighbors, welcome to the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Podcast. A cabin you can count on. A yurt that won't give you hurt in a shelterless world. I'm Joe Alden, MD, that old Dr. Bones, founder of Survival Top 50's Reader's Choice website 3 years in a row, doomandbloom.net, your source for both medical education and the entire line of medical kits and supplies that Nurse Amy has in her store, the best on the interweb.
Thank you.
And that's a biased opinion. Some of the stuff you hear on the show is outside the conventional medical wisdom. And you know what? Despite that, we have active conventional medical licenses, so I have to tell you that.
All information and opinions voiced.
I couldn't find
it on the page. No. I don't have it memorized. All information and opinions voiced on the Survival Medicine Podcast are for entertainment purposes only and do not represent medical advice for anything other than post-apocalyptic settings. We strongly urge our audience to seek modern and standard medical care whenever and wherever it is available.
That's right. Don't listen to us. We're just an old coot and a beautiful lady.
Aw, thank you.
Well, anyhow, all I have to say is COVID-19. By the way, I don't know if you guys know out there, but COVID-19, honestly, is the name of the disease. It is not actually the name of the virus. The name of the virus is SARS hyphen COVID-2.
Interesting.
Or COVID-2, actually. SARS coronavirus 2. SARS-CoV-2. And the reason why they named it that is because it's similar in genetic makeup to SARS from the epidemic disease from the year about, well, I don't know, 2002 or so.
Oh, you have a good memory.
Oh, yeah.
2002. I'm not sure what planet I was on in 2002. Was I on Earth? I think I might have been here.
Well, I'll tell you, you have to be on Mars or some other planet, indeed, to not know about the epidemic that's sweeping the world. And as a matter of fact, it is not an epidemic. It is a pandemic. And I've said that a million times, actually, for at least a couple of weeks now. And finally, I think that the World Health Organization and the CDC are going to actually declare that it's a pandemic at one point or another.
Soon, I think.
So we'll have to see. Now, the reason why they don't want us to call it that is because they think it's going to sow panic and terror among people. But that's not the reason why I want to call it a pandemic. I want to call it a pandemic because if you know that there's something going on that could be serious, well, you're going to pay more attention to it and you're going to prepare for it.
That makes sense.
More likely to prepare for it. You know, if there's a storm and you don't see the clouds on the horizon, well, you know, there might not be
preparedness.
You might be complacent about it,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So,
you might not think about getting some stuff.
So please don't be complacent.
And when I say
stuff,
I don't necessarily mean our stuff, but, you know, soup.
Yeah.
Water filtration.
That's right.
All kinds of disaster preparedness, which I will make a little plug for myself. I did disaster supply preparedness videos with supplies that we had. I pulled samples out.
Right.
I have one that's on just water and filtration, one that's on food, one that's on electric. It's not electricity, but power and heating. I have a few different videos, and I did do a playlist on our YouTube channel, Dr. Bones Nurse Amy. So if you go to our YouTube channel, you can find that playlist and just watch them, and they're going to give you some good ideas, maybe things you forgot about or hadn't thought. I know most of our listeners are very prepared, but you never know who's out there who's a newbie and saying, I got to get ready.
Well, so, a lot of people are prepared for trauma. They have tourniquets and they have blood clotting gauze and all that other stuff, but they're not prepared for an infectious disease.
Right, everyday living that you might have to be stuck in your house. So, and you know, guys, people who are getting ready on an extreme level at this point because they're just fearful and it makes them feel better, that's fine because most likely they won't have to use this stuff. And a lot of this stuff is really good, especially the freeze-dried food and canned goods for many, many years. So it's not like these things that you buy are going to go bad. Now, if you're stocking up on Wonder Bread, you're going to have a problem in about 3 weeks.
That's
and that's
right.
Called mold. So we're all smart about what we prep on and what we get, and looking at expiration dates and how to store them best. And
right.
You can get years out of storage.
Absolutely.
So don't worry about prepping, folks. If it makes you feel better, that's fine. Go get more tuna fish and canned salmon and whatever it is you want to have in your house. Just don't buy cereal and bread and milk. Those probably aren't going to last very long. I don't know. Maybe the cereal.
I don't know how long cereal lasts.
I haven't looked
probably
at a cereal expiration date. When was the last time we even had cereal in this house?
No, quite a bit.
It's been a while.
Quite a long time. I'll bet it lasts a long time.
I have no idea.
I'm sure there's preservatives and all that kind of wonderful stuff in it.
That's true. It's maybe like the myth of Twinkies. The Twinkies, what do they say? Twinkies lasted 100 years
right.
or something.
They and
I beg to
cockroaches
differ.
Will be eating the Twinkies.
Let me tell you,
in a zillion years.
You know why I beg to differ? Do you remember when, what was it, Hostess made them?
Yes.
Who was it that made them? Who made the Twinkies?
Hostess, yeah, Hostess.
They went out,
yeah.
Remember?
So they
weren't going to make, so we went to the grocery store and I thought I was going to be real smart and, you know, buy some treats and hold on to them. Well, I tried a Twinkie about 6 months later because they ended up selling the recipe to somebody else.
Yes. So
they put them back on the shelf. But before they did that, I noticed they had sold the recipe. So I said, oh, let me try one of these old Twinkies. It's not good.
It was moldy. Yeah.
Not
bad.
Not good. No.
B-A-D bad.
Does not last forever. That is a myth. And I guess if you froze it, it might be fine. But mine was not in the freezer and was not tasty.
True that.
So look at your expiration dates.
Wise words.
Thank you. So what's our topic today?
Well, I mean, I guess we better talk a little bit about COVID-19.
All right.
You know, we've been writing about the chance of a global pandemic for so many years, and we've had so many epidemic diseases over the years, Ebola in 2014, the swine flu in 2009, mm-hmm. 2010. I'm trying to think of just since we've actually been prepping, SARS in 2002, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome mm-hmm. in 2012, Zika in 2015.
There's always
chikungunya
been a little something every couple of years.
Yeah, there sure
that
is.
Made a little threat, made a little noise, a little peep. And I said, oh no, is this going to be it? Thankfully, this one, I will say, even though it's so easily spread, I don't think we're ever going to know if this ends how many people got this, because so many people don't have symptoms or have mild symptoms.
It's true. It probably
a
is
little
million.
Or a sore throat or you know a headache, a fever that's momentary or nothing at all. I don't think we're ever going to know the extent of how bad this was.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's going to be millions
of
people.
But we're never going to know the numbers.
And the grand majority of them are never going to be identified.
No, we just aren't going to know.
It's very true. Because people are just showing up with this. Mm-hmm. And that means that it's been around in their community for a while.
Right.
I mean, there haven't been to Wuhan, China.
No.
Or any of those
I don't think the folks in the nursing
haven't
home.
Haven't known anybody who went there.
I don't think the folks in the nursing home in Kirkland, Washington.
I've been to Wuhan, China lately.
I got an order from somebody from Kirkland, Washington today.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, well, of anyone that deserves to get his order the day he placed it, it's this guy. Person. Yes.
That's right.
So if you're listening, it is in the mail, on the way. I promise.
Well, good for you. Well, let's see. So I guess we were thinking about influenza, honestly, as the most likely pandemic that we would see.
Right.
But indeed.
Well, because what you and I always talked about, and we've been prepping seriously since, 2008, 2009?
Mm-hmm.
And not our hurricane prepping, because we always had all of that stuff already. The batteries and the flashlight and the, you know, 1 month or 2 months food and extra water. We had all of that, but the serious, like, things are going to get shut down, we've had that since, you know, I don't know, 12, 13 years. But that's why we started with this, because you and I saw that there could be a pandemic and, you know, sort of become awakened
right
by the fact that we're so dependent on shipments to our grocery store and shipments to the gas station and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, like dominoes. And now we're seeing the China dominoes fall. And for me personally, my medical supply store, for the first time ever in January, I saw this. You and I said, oh, this is starting. This is not good. China makes everything. Medications.
Right. We don't produce anything here
apparently
anymore.
Apparently, the epicenter of the entire, not a pandemic yet, epidemic.
It is a pandemic,
okay.
I say.
All right. Well, the epicenter of it is exactly where they make masks.
Face masks. Wow.
That is where the main manufacturing of the entire world, most of our masks are made, right in that area. Right there.
Amazing.
And so those people aren't going to work and they've shut down the factories. And so the whole production line is down. China needs masks like crazy, but they can't send people to work when everybody's sick because they don't want to spread this. So, I mean, it's bad. And China is not allowing any masks to be exported. So now here we are, United States. I don't think we produce any masks here at all. I know there's some made in
Mexico
and there's some made in the UK. But our main supply line is shut down. So that's the first domino.
Right.
And boom, 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 boom. 3M's not making them. They're not giving them to the hospital supply, which is what I buy from, the main hospital supply company in this country. And so then I can't get them. And then the hospitals can't get them. And districts can't get them. I actually got an email a couple of days ago. I get emails from people who need things, and they wanted a quote, and it says, good afternoon. Hope this email finds you well. The district is seeking to purchase the following items: N95 masks. Please let us know how many you have available to purchase, as we have no set quantity and are looking to purchase as many as we can.
My gosh.
Please provide me with a quote by 3:30 today. Thank you, exclamation point. Regards, somebody, Director, Purchasing Group, Miami-Dade County Public Schools,
wow.
Procurement Management Services, right here.
See, now that isn't right. The municipality should have a stockpile of some items that would make sense in an epidemic, and face masks would be one of them, and I'm just really surprised that they don't have it, and I'll tell you, it's because of that we're going to see, I think, outbreaks in multiple cities in the next few weeks.
And that was just one of them. I know there's more of them there on this thing, because I get from a few counties in Florida, I get the procurement requests.
Well, the good thing about, if there's anything good about COVID-19, is that it seems to affect relatively few children.
Yes. Oh, thank goodness.
Now, it does... Actually,
our babies, honey.
Yeah, it actually does kill people that are older, that are infirm, have medical issues.
And wait, when I say our babies.
And occasionally a healthy adult.
When I say our babies, I don't mean you and I's babies. I mean our babies of the world. That's what
our
I say. Because
babies
you,
of the
I
world?
Because I used to deliver babies, and you used to deliver babies.
Yes, that's true.
So we consider all babies our babies.
That's right, of course.
No matter whose baby they are, they're ours.
Well,
humankind's babies.
They are our family.
That's right. Humankind family.
Well, speaking about families, let's talk about a family of viruses.
Oh.
Let's talk about the coronaviridae family. And the funny thing about coronavirus is we don't know how long it's been around, but we have known about it, physically seen it, since about the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is that until this coronavirus came around, there were only six known strains of it. Now, the amazing thing I think about this entire thing is that coronavirus in general accounts for probably 15 to 25% of all common colds. And
so, like, we've all had coronaviruses.
Most likely.
Who hasn't had a cold by the time you're 10 years old? If you go to public school, you have had a cold.
Absolutely. And so what happens is the coronaviruses that cause colds apparently don't even merit a name. They don't have a name. They have a combination of numbers and letters.
Right.
And there are four strains of those. And it was only since the new century arrived, the 2000s arrived, that we started getting these epidemic, deadly kinds of coronaviruses.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one, indeed, was SARS. SARS stands for a sudden acute respiratory syndrome.
By the way,
syndrome.
SARS is a scary word.
Yeah, doesn't
it? I don't know why, but you say, oh, you've got SARS. That sounds...
Sounds like SCARS.
I don't know. There's just something about the name. COVID doesn't sound so scary.
Yes.
I don't know. COVID sounds like, I don't know, a callus or something. But SARS sounds really, really menacing.
And indeed, it was menacing. It caused, for about 6 months, thousands of cases, about 8,000 cases in total, and it killed about 10% of people that got it. Now, that actually was mild compared to the one that occurred about 10 years later.
Right.
That's also turned out to be a coronavirus, and that is called Middle East Respiratory Syndrome.
I remember that, too.
And that one, there were very few cases. Let's say there were a couple hundred, and they're still, by the way, counting up cases occasionally. They had a couple of hundred of them a year.
Mm-hmm.
In total, there's been about 2,500 cases, but that has about a 35% death rate, and that's close to pretty much Ebola territory there.
So let's just talk about this right now. So we've got SARS that had a pretty decent mortality rate of 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
And then you're talking about Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, and that's got a pretty decent death rate or mortality rate, but neither of these are highly contagious.
Right, that's true.
So the highly contagious part of this COVID-19, I'm still going to call that because it's easier to say, is what has been the scariest. Not such a terrible death rate, which I know you're going to go over in just a second, but if it mutates.
Oh, yeah.
That's the scary thing. Viruses are constantly, somehow, without brains, figuring out their environment and adapting.
That's
adapting
right.
to come out of bats and go to another animal. We're not sure what it was exactly. And then adapting to then go into humans. That's some crazy adaption.
Yeah, it is amazing, too, about bats. I want to say that there are a lot of deadly viruses that their natural reservoir is bats. The bat appears to... I mean, bats can hold Ebola. They can carry all these things.
They're like a Petri dish.
But they never get sick.
Yeah, that's crazy. They're like a Petri dish, but they don't get sick.
And apparently what happens is they have a very powerful immune system that's always in overdrive. But unlike us, our immune system can actually, in response to a virus, actually go haywire.
Right.
And they have what's called a cytokine storm.
Right.
And those are basically molecules that activate immune cells. And if these go crazy, they don't just activate the amount of immune cells that need to be activated. They activate much more. And they just have a constant cascade.
So they overcharge. They overdo it. They go overboard.
Right. Basically, they're nuking an anthill.
Gotcha.
So this is the kind of thing that can be pretty scary. And that's because we have inflammation as part of our immune response.
Mm-hmm.
Bats apparently don't have an anti-inflammatory response.
You mean an inflammatory
response?
Right.
To these viruses. They float around in their system. They manage to
keep them down.
Keep them down to the point that they don't make them sick.
Right.
But they don't have any inflammation that goes along with that
Which is damaging to us. The inflammation in our bodies is very damaging, but they don't get the inflammation.
Exactly right.
Do you remember that bat we saw that was sick?
Oh, yeah.
In, was it Colorado? It was just south of Yellowstone National Park.
Yes.
Just south of Grand Teton.
Yeah.
We were staying in a hotel that was just south of Grand Teton. It was in between that.
Right.
We stopped at a fishery.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes. We saw trout, I think.
Yes, it was trout. And then on this dock was this bat that was just kind of laying there. And it almost had that fuzz on its face. We thought it might have had some fungus.
The white nose.
Yeah, it might have had, on the nose. It might have had that fungus that's been hurting.
It's possible,
bats.
But I'll tell you one thing. That
definitely was very sick.
Any bat that's out in daytime.
Daytime. It was just sitting on a dock in the sun.
And remember, bats also, another virus that bats carry
well,
is
you know,
rabies.
I took a picture of that.
Is
do you remember?
Rabies. Yeah, I think you did.
I have to look for that picture.
I have to see if we can find it.
That was in August of 2018.
Now, the thing with SARS is that it lasted about 6 months. MERS has been less contagious than SARS, but it has been more spread out.
Right.
But it doesn't cause major epidemics because it has a very low, what we call, R-naught number.
Right.
The R number, or the reproductive rate number,
mm-hmm.
is basically the number of people that an infected person would get sick if that infected person was dropped in the middle of a population that had never seen the disease.
So that's how many people it would transmit to.
Right, exactly. Okay. So MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, is about 0.8. So it's never
less
really,
than one person.
Right. Less than one person, it's not going to form an epidemic.
Okay.
Okay. SARS was about 2, so it did, you know, it infected the thousands of people over a course of a few months. Ebola is a little bit around 2, I guess, as well. There were about 28,000 cases over the course of a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
But the COVID-19 probably has a higher RO number.
Right, because we don't know how many people are actually infected.
Exactly.
I mean, if we think 100,000 or close to 100,000 are infected, there could easily be a million people that have been infected.
Very true.
But those other people didn't know it. They had a little cough, a little this, and they
didn't know,
or had nothing.
That's
nothing.
Right.
Nothing. That's crazy that there are people, and the fact is that they don't have symptoms, but they can still infect others.
That's true.
That's frightening.
That is pretty
scary. Because people know if you're sick, you should stay home. I think especially in America today, if you're starting to feel sick, you're going to stay home. If you get really sick, obviously you're going to go to the hospital or a doctor. But if you feel nothing, you're going to go to the grocery store. You're going to go to the movies. You're going to go to school.
Sure.
You're going to go to a concert. I mean, we're supposed to go to a concert on March 13th.
Oh, that's right.
A Friday, the 13th, March.
Oh, boy.
I know, is that funny? I saw our tickets.
I might have to bring a mask.
I mean, it's a beautiful concert. What's his name?
Oh, Andre Rieu or something
yes.
like that. It's like
yes.
some classical music.
Beautiful music. But, you know, people who aren't sick are not going to stay home. If you and I were sick, we wouldn't go there because we wouldn't want to get others sick. But if you feel fine, you're also going to get on a plane.
Right.
On a cruise ship.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
On a train.
you can get infected in a trip to the grocery store.
But I'm saying the people who are sick, who are infectious, who are transmitting it with no symptoms, they don't know to stay home.
That's right.
So people are just moving around, infecting others, and they have no idea that they're the vector.
I go to your grocery store and, you know, touch all sorts of surfaces, touch that.
Look at the expiration date.
Peach that you were looking
right,
at, that
exactly.
you bought. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they wind up having the foods that they touched by the cashier, touched by the person bagging groceries.
And nobody knows.
And nobody knows.
Nobody knows. And then some older person, which by the way, folks, just because you're young, please do not think that this doesn't affect you. We all have older relatives. We need to protect them. It's not fair. So please, please wash your hands all the time, even if you feel fine. Just try to think of others. Even if you don't have an older relative, you might have a neighbor or somebody you know at church or somewhere else. We all have to protect these folks. It's not fair. Nobody should be passing away from this. And just because it's older people doesn't make it okay. I just want to be clear about that.
That's well said.
Yeah.
As an older person, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Now, people have asked me, you know, so what? We've got this thing going around. It's just like the flu, right? Well, it's like the flu in some ways. I mean, you get a fever, you get a cough, mm-hmm. and things like that. But interestingly enough, you don't have some things that you see with a flu. You wind up getting nasal congestion with the flu. You wind up getting a sore throat many times with the flu. This is not something that we're seeing very often with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And what we are seeing is a very unusual rate of getting very sick with this. Now, 81% of people have absolutely no symptoms or have very mild flu-like symptoms, and they can get over it and they are recovered and everything is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But 1 in 5 or 6 people wind up getting pneumonia from this. Right. And that's a lot higher rate of people getting pneumonia from COVID-19 than people getting pneumonia from the flu, for example. And so it gets bad, it gets to be severe in a much higher percentage of patients. And it actually kills about 3%. The death rate for the flu is about 0.1%. So it actually has a death rate about 30 times higher than the flu. And 3% may not sound like much to you, but indeed that is about what the Spanish flu killed, about 3% of the people that got the Spanish flu 100 years ago.
Right. Now, the issue with statistics, and I'm actually going to be putting up a video by you soon, is that these statistics may be completely off because we are not counting the folks that don't have any symptoms. If you don't have any symptoms, you're not going to the doctor, you're not getting a swab,
right?
And you're not getting tested for this. So I don't think we're ever going to actually know a very accurate mortality rate. 3%, 2 to 3% is scary, but if we found out, which we're never going to be able to, that a million people have been infected right now, that would bring the death rate down.
Right. I think that 3% is probably on the high side.
Yeah.
There are a lot of cases that haven't been identified that will never be identified.
Right.
And that some of that is because perhaps the governments of the countries in which that's occurring aren't that transparent. China, Iran, and by the way, we haven't heard about one case from North Korea.
Oh,
North
Korea, they don't have it, right?
Yeah, right.
No.
They share a border with China, and I guarantee
you
that
imagine?
There is a terrible infrastructure medically, by the way, and there are a lot of people probably that are sick there,
yeah,
and I'm sure
sadly.
The death rate is probably higher there. They're, depending on where you are in China, by the way, determined the death rate.
Mm-hmm.
In Wuhan, it was about 5%. Other parts of China, is about 0.7. So it's sort of interesting that it changes based on the geography a little bit. So anyhow, the question is, what is the likelihood that this is going to end up in your town? Now, my answer to that is very likely that there'll be cases almost everywhere. And I'm expecting cases to be in the thousands. And it's very possible that we're going to have a commensurate amount of deaths as a result. And mostly
right.
of that, most of those are going to be among the old and infirm.
Right. Who but we still love.
That's right. And we have to do whatever we possibly can in an effort to prevent this from happening. So
right.
what are the things that you can do to prevent becoming infected? The most important thing you can do is, well, hand and respiratory hygiene. You've heard it a million times. Wash your hands. For goodness sake, wash your hands. And I'll tell you when you should
they
be doing this.
They must teach this in preschool, I hope.
They don't. I guarantee you they don't. You should wash your hands. They may teach it, but they don't ever teach it as often as you actually should do it.
Right.
After coughing or sneezing, you should wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Before, during, and after preparing food, you should wash your hands. Before eating, you should wash your hands. After using the restroom, you should wash your hands. After handling animals or animal waste, you should wash your hands. And of course, when your hands are visibly dirty, wash your hands.
Right.
And so there are very few people that do this, and if they do this, they don't do it with soap and water. They may use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer. In many cases, as long as there's not an actual soiled hands, your hands aren't soiled, it's okay to use hand sanitizer, but the thing is that people use like a drop of it. When you got to use a big glob of it and really be able to get yourself totally wet from this stuff all the way down to your wrists.
So I think the look for hand sanitizer is if your hands don't look like you just dipped them into a vat of hand sanitizer, you have not put
That's
enough on.
Pretty much it. You
like
really
if
need
you had a
lot.
Huge bucket, like a Home Depot orange bucket right. filled with hand sanitizer, and you stuck your hands in there past your wrist and then pulled them out and shook them off.
That would be better.
Sadly, that's what your hands need to look like.
And the thing is that when we touch our hands, our face so much with our hands, it's just ridiculous.
I know.
That is a terrible, terrible thing to do because it's a great way to get contaminated.
When I'm at a desk at the computer, my face sits on my hand.
Yeah.
I either have it on my chin.
Yeah, people stroke their beard.
Well, I don't do that. I set my...
Yeah, I guess not. You don't have a beard.
Then I had a good answer for that.
That was an excellent answer. Good for you.
Honey, if I get a beard, you better take me somewhere to get that off.
Yes, ma'am.
Do not let me go into public like that, please. If I lose my mind, take care of me, okay?
I mean, I wish I could have some like little dog collar like thing that you put on the wrist
yes.
of everybody.
No, you just want to do that to me.
It gives them a little electric.
So
yeah,
I work more.
Yeah, a little electric. A little electric shock when you touch your face.
Yeah.
So anyhow, then of course...
You call it a wife collar.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's terrible. Hand hygiene, of course, goes hand in hand.
Yes. Ha-ha.
With respiratory hygiene. Respiratory hygiene, of course, means you should cover all coughs, all sneezes with a tissue, or at least your upper arm if you don't have a tissue. And you have to dispose of that tissue in a covered waste receptacle. You should cover your nose and mouth with a mask or cloth anytime that you're sick,
right.
And clean all surfaces touched by sick people with a disinfectant, 1 to 10 bleach solution or chlorine solution would be fine for that. So that's pretty much similar to what you do to prevent getting influenza, but you got to be really good about it because this can get you sick, really sick, 30 times more often than influenza can. So, and if, mm-hmm. God forbid that an outbreak is in your actual community, then you have to go a step further. And I was just talking to you about personal hygiene. Now you're going to have to do some social hygiene. In other words, you're going to have to make sure that you do something that's going to prevent you from getting contact with people that are sick. So
you mean not going to a concert?
Right, like that. Indeed, that may be the case. So we call that social distancing. So some families in a community, if they have limited medical resources, they wonder what they can do. They can do social distancing, which is what we call a non-pharmaceutical intervention or an NPI. They're drastic measures for drastic times, but they will definitely limit your exposure to others that may be sick or carrying the virus. This includes some changes in your lifestyle. So you need to do social distancing. Stay away from large crowds. Don't go to work if you're sick or if a lot of people are sick in your community. Keep children home from school if there are other kids that are sick. Avoid public transportation. Avoid physical contact with other people. Keep a distance of about 6 feet from other people. As a matter of fact, you don't want to be anywhere near shaking hands distance. Believe me, you want to be at least 6 feet away from other people. And of course, you have to isolate sick people in your family from healthy people. That's something very important. A lot of people think that that's sort of paranoid, but the truth is that these are recommendations that are endorsed by U.S. government agencies in the event of a deadly infectious disease outbreak. So these are some of the things that we absolutely have to do if we're going to protect our families, is we have
That's
to
right.
keep them away from other sick folk.
Absolutely.
And it's a terrible thing to say, but that's what you got to do. Well, there's a lot more to talk about with regards to COVID-19 disease. Well, with any luck, we're not going to have to deal with this, but we have to be prepared. So as they say, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. We're going to go ahead and prepare for another show in the next few days. And I promise you that we're going to keep you up to date. This is Joe Alton for Amy Alton. Thank you for listening to the Survival Medicine Podcast. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Doom and Bloom Hour with medical preparedness experts Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy. Check out our website at www.doomandbloom.net for hundreds of informative articles about survival medicine, gardening, natural remedies, medical supplies, and lots of other good stuff. Contact us, send your email to drbonespodcast@aol.com or use the contact form on the main page of the website. See you next week.